Good morning. It is a Friday morning here at KTIC, and it's time for our weekly market update with Soy Roy, Roy Smith from Cass County, Nebraska, as we talk markets from this past week and kind of look ahead. Good to have you on again here, Roy. And are you getting close to getting into the field here or what?
Getting awfully close. I'm thinking maybe Friday afternoon or Saturday sometime. It looks dry on top, but it just doesn't dry very fast when the temperature is so low, but days like we had Thursday, why kind of gets everybody optimistic and thinking that maybe this thing is going to happen after all.
And I know there's still conflicting weather reports for the middle of next week. Some models have us in rain, other models do not. But like you said, when it gets fit, we're going to go, and we can plant a lot of corn in a short amount of time, can't we?
We can plant an awful lot of corn in a short amount of time, and I'll tell you, I'm getting antsy to get out and try it out. My planter that I use for my big 200-acre operation here is 20 years old, and I'm anxious to make sure that it works before we have to get some real speed in it.
Yeah. All right, well, let's talk about the markets as of late, and I guess maybe the biggest headline is what happened yesterday. Saw such a nice bump, not only in the grains, but the commodities, all commodities yesterday.
I didn't see the crude oil or gold and silver, any of those things, but yes, all the grain commodities were very strong. And just a side note that you probably don't hear very much on the commentary, but the July wheat futures had the best day since November 27th of last year, and boy, we've been looking for some optimism in that wheat market for so long, and yesterday we finally got it. I'm not exactly sure what the issue was, but I think a lot of it probably is frost damage in Texas and Oklahoma, and the fact that there's still snow on the ground in the hard red spring areas in North Dakota.
Yeah, we don't talk a lot about wheat on this program, but from what I've heard and read, yeah, they didn't think that the crop progress report from this past Monday accounted for some of that freeze in the southern plains. So maybe you think it's positioning ahead of this coming Monday's report, huh?
It could be, and it wasn't really bearish at all, at least the report that I saw. The wheat plantings are almost zero, and compared to a normal of 20% or something like that. So, you know, we're getting to the point where, at least with the wheat, lateness may be an issue. Now, with corn and beans, lateness is not usually an issue that lasts very long, but we haven't had a tight supply situation in old crop like we have now for a long time, or maybe never. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting market to watch in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about local basis on corn and soybeans. We've seen more processors and more local grain buyers start the switch from the front month contract out to July. You know, that typically takes place anyway, but anything interesting or different that you've observed so far?
Well, just that, you know, there's a lot of misunderstanding among farmers about the basis and what the comparison is between the nearby contract, which is May, and the first deferred contract, which is July. And you say, well, you look at that and you say, well, the July futures are 20 cents under May futures. That's not good for me. But if you look at the basis of what the local processors are offering, they're making up for that whole difference in just the basis alone, and not counting any other factors. So my understanding is the reason that the processors made that change is that they perceived that there's going to be some extreme volatility in the May futures when it goes into delivery, and they don't want to be a part of that.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to watch how that goes. Earlier this year, that kind of made headlines when the futures was trying to determine what the real demand was out there, huh?
Well, the basis always is a good indication of real demand, and, you know, sometimes futures is, and sometimes futures aren't. So it's really a case of the local buyers sort of protecting their margins, and you can't blame them for that, because big basis move of 20 or 30 cents could just be disastrous for a country elevator.
Yeah. All right. As far as that rally that we saw yesterday, you know, we're getting some nice rallies here. Is that an indication maybe we should pull the trigger on some stuff?
I think we're getting very close. You know, if looking at the charts as I did for my newsletter that's going to come out next week, we're getting into the time period when we expect to see the high price of the year. Usually May and June are the two best months to make sales, and so you know, you look at the price that's being offered and look at the basis indications as to what the future might hold and be ready to pull the trigger, because we've been through a real ringer here since about the middle of November, and any rebound that gets part of that back is sure going to be good for the farmer's pocketbook.
Sure. And like you said, you've got a newsletter coming out for folks that maybe would like to participate in that, subscribe to it, or just get more information on putting together that marketing plan in general. How can they get it?
Roy@soyroy.com is my email address. Soyroy.com is my website.
All right. Thanks for the information. Good to have you. We'll talk to you again next week, okay?
I hope from the tractor seat.
Yeah, that'll be a good thing. Thanks much. Soy Roy, Roy Smith from Cass County, Nebraska, with an update on the markets here on 840 KTIC. Chad Moyer reporting.